Today's podcast is brought to you by the Herzog Foundation. Many young people are dealing with depression and anxiety. What moms may not realize is that some of these mental health issues can be rooted in forces of evil that kids are unknowingly inviting into their lives. Today, a counselor gives valuable insights into the spiritual side of mental health. Stay with us. This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms. Hi, moms. I'm Debbie Kurlitis, your host, and welcome to the Moms for America podcast. I'm so glad that you mamas are joining me again today. Every week, we get together to inspire, encourage, and educate moms in their journey through motherhood. Well, alrighty, on to today's program. We have Dr. Natalie Atwell. She has an intense desire to find biblical answers to mental health concerns. She currently leads a private counseling practice in Charlotte, North Carolina, and is an adjunct faculty member at Liberty University. She is the creator of the Mental Warrior courses that are focused on weird influences of mental health. Some of those we're going to be talking about today. All right. Well, welcome, Doctor, to the Moms for America podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. This is such a needed conversation. So appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
All right. We do get to like to know everyone just a little bit. Can you tell us a little bit about your tribe, what family is like for you? I know how important that is for you as well.
Yeah, sure. I love talking about my family. It's the thing in my life outside of my faith. So, yeah, I have a wonderful husband of 21 years, and we have two boys who are teenagers. So that's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Foster in our house. And they play sports. They love their faith. You know, they are leaders in their school. So I'm really proud of who they're becoming in the Lord for sure.
Yeah. Well, when you talk about counseling and dealing with the younger generation and all the situations that affect them, you're living it out because your kids are a part of this world. And as parents and as moms, we're just always protecting and guiding and trying to help them. You've been a counselor for what is it, about 20 years?
Yeah, a long time. I started out as a school counselor and then moved into the private counseling setting.
Yeah. I'd love to talk about some of these things that we've seen over the years, how it's changed counseling maybe. So when you say two decades, you know, you started probably with one philosophy of counseling, and we've seen a lot of it change over the years. And I've had other counselors come on that have written books, and it kind of used to be where you would deal with the medical issue or whatever the sickness is. And now it's moved into just affirming whatever the person believes. I'd love to get your kind of what you've seen over the last 20 years as far as the counseling approach, because it's changed.
It really has. And I'm so glad that we're talking about this because so many people don't. They just assume it's always been this way, especially people coming out of school right now. And
right.
We take interns in my practice and we have to really teach them, like, it's okay to integrate your faith. It's okay to be who you are. It's okay also not to affirm ungodly beliefs if that's not what you believe. Now, that's not what your mainstream counselor or therapist is going to say. And I'm sure I get a lot of pushback from that. But actually, true counseling, whether you're a believer or not, is not to be affirming. Can you imagine if we affirmed every mental health, you know, symptom, issue, like, oh, you want to harm yourself? Well, go ahead and do it. That's actually as dangerous as what we're doing when it comes to the other matters that people want us to affirm these days. If we're saying that's who you are, no, that's not who you are.
Yeah. And it is, it's difficult because I think as parents or, you know, even professionals, you want to come alongside and help and understand. And I guess at some points we just overcompensate, right? Just trying to help, but really that's not helping because then we're enabling and we're letting them live in a world of reality that isn't, it's reality in their world, but it's not reality in the real world.
Yeah, exactly. And their brains are still forming and developing. I mean, most research suggests that they're not even completely formed until they're 25. And to be honest, if I can go there specifically with the transgender, ideology and all that's being wanting us to affirm certain beliefs as counselors, what we're finding in my practice is that if we go the approach that we just meet them where they are, we just try a good counseling approach that I was raised on, good cognitive behavioral therapy, raised on, I say raised on, but I was trained on. And if you go that approach, you don't have to affirm necessarily their beliefs. And what we found is most of them change their beliefs anyway. So they may think they feel one way in middle school, but by the time they graduate, it's completely different. So we can't, I think it's dangerous, even if you do believe those things are okay, to affirm certain things in a child, a teenager.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we all know any parent knows that our children become whoever they want to be. I mean, if somebody said that they were Superman, we wouldn't say go jump off of a building and pretend that they are this person, an imagination. And then from imagination into just really identity crisis that every teenager goes through at some level, whether it's, the girls with the situations that they come through or puberty with boys. I mean, we know that these are difficult periods and that confusion can come in, and that if we don't have the right counseling, these can grow into severe mental health issues. Let's talk about that, because mental health is a very big piece of this pie that we're looking at with the crisis that our kids are having, from anxiety to identity crisis. It's really a mental health issue.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I also, to be honest, I think it's a spiritual issue. And a lot of times
Yes, you're so right. You're so
people want
right.
to blame it on mental health, but in reality, there's so much rooted in spirituality, especially when it comes to identity. I
Yeah.
think we can't leave that component out of it.
You're so true.
But to be honest, one of the things why I'm so passionate about speaking out about a lot of these things about spirituality and mental health is because not only are mainstream therapists and counselors pushing, these ideologies on people or affirming it or whatever, but they also are implementing practices such as using tarot cards and divination, witchcraft, really, into the counseling setting. And that's another thing. I mean, that's a very spiritual thing. I
Sure
believe in
is.
spiritual darkness.
A cult.
Another way that counseling has changed that people aren't really talking about these days.
Let's talk about that, because when you say tarot cards and the occult, or almost demonic influences, clearly we would say is this these influences, this spiritual warfare that's on our kids, that's attacking them on a regular basis in society. Let's talk about some of these things that you're seeing, and you call them weird influences. Is that correct?
Yes, I call it that because I don't want to scare people away by saying evil influences. I want them to have an open mind, but some of
Okay.
them, they truly are weird influences. But I call them that because it's something that we didn't normally see in counseling before. And we
Sure.
noticed it at first by the increase of symptoms that were not typical, like dissociative symptoms, sleep paralysis in teenagers, and a lot of different things like that. Even the transgender movement has massively increased in the last 5 years, or people saying they're struggling with that.
Unbelievable.
And that doesn't fit with statistically those who would normally struggle with that. It was like less than 1% of the population, and now like 25% of teens they're saying or something is struggling with that. And I'm like, there's got to be more going on here. And so
Yeah.
that's when we started looking into my practice specifically, assessing for other influences
And
beyond
what
the
did you
normal mental
find
health
out?
thing.
What did you see are some of the big things that our moms need to know could absolutely be a part of whatever crisis their child is having?
Yeah, we have found a lot of correlation with them engaging in darkness. So things like using divination, new age type practices, it's all the selfish, self-centered type ideologies that are promoted. And sometimes that looks like self-care, which is tough. Being obsessed with social media, and that's not a new thing that people probably are shocked about. But even some of the video games that they're playing, some of the things they're doing with their friends. I mean, you can get on a Ouija board on your phone now. There are video games that are targeted to where you can cast spells on other people. And you would be amazed at how many kids are involved in these things and they don't think anything about it.
Like
And
on TikTok, for
yeah,
instance,
like there's
right?
a
I
whole,
see.
witch talk and you can buy curses on Etsy. It's insane what is actually going out there these days that people, just have no idea that it's
They're
not a
open.
fun little thing
Right.
they're engaging in. It's impacting their mental health and it's attacking them on all fronts.
I was thinking about this the other day. You know, when my kids grew up, there was Casper the Friendly Ghost, right? Even at that, I always thought, I'm not just making the ghosts friendly. I never really, all that kind of just creeped me out. I never liked it for my kids. But I was just thinking about the difference of probably now nobody would be like, who the heck is Casper the Friendly Ghost? But it was different. And still was still, you know, there's always this movement of the spiritual world. But I was walking through Home Depot yesterday, and I would say, we're talking Home Depot. I would say that half of the, or a third, whatever you want to say, of the whole front is Halloween. And it is so demonic. It is so frightening. Like my little guys, they hated these things. I could never bring them where this stuff was at, especially my youngest, who would just freak out. There was so much demonic. I'm going in to just get, you know, paint. And you got to go through such demonic warfare getting to the paint department. And I am telling you, freaky, like freaking me out, and a lot of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's real and it's growing. It's amazing when I travel to other countries to do mission work and things, they bring this up often. They're like, "We pray for you guys during Halloween because we don't understand why your nation like engages in such darkness, And I'm not saying there can't be harmless practices and people doing things, I'm not like an extremist on that, but if you it is you do need to pay attention to even younger kids who are wearing much darker costumes than ever before. You very rarely see a princess costume anymore. And it's disturbing. And that again is a part of what I'm saying is there's a spiritual battle that we must be aware of, that we have to remember Ephesians 6, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And there's a lot of evil that's going on behind the mental health crisis that we need to acknowledge, and we need to be aware of what's leading people into that darkness.
Right. And that would be the music too. I mean, we see so many of our music
Absolutely.
artists.
Yeah, I mean, people were having witchcraft and those experiences even within their musical their experiences, their concerts and things.
All right, right after this short break, we'll continue our discussion with Dr. Atwell on breaking free from spiritual darkness. Stay with us. Hi, moms. I'm excited to share some news about our new sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. We know you're passionate about raising patriots and empowering your children with the best education possible, and the Herzog Foundation shares that passion. They're dedicated to promoting liberty through education freedom and helping parents like you choose the best educational path. They offer a powerhouse of resources designed to support families and schools alike. Whether you're ready to dive in headfirst to the world of education or simply looking for more ways to empower your child's learning, from free training events to their must-read online publication, The Lion, they're committed to keeping you informed about what's happening in education. Also, if you've ever thought, moms, about starting your own Christian school or co-op, their School Box online course will give you everything you need to get started on the right foot. Again, we are so proud to partner with the Herzog Foundation, and we encourage you to explore all their amazing tools and the insights that they offer. So go ahead, visit herzogfoundation.com to learn more. You won't want to miss these incredible resources. Again, find it all out at herzogfoundation.com.
You know, I've never really felt comfortable sharing pictures of my kids on social media. Then I found Tubu, a premium social app with an actual, authentic community. No bots, no one trolling me or my family. Just clean, wholesome content you can trust.
All All right, moms, welcome back. But before we continue with our interview, I do want to remind everyone to please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your mama friends. Also, if you have any ideas, topics, suggestions for the podcast, would you go ahead and please email me directly at podcast@momsforamerica.net. I would love to hear from you. And lastly, I do want to invite all of our moms that are listening to join the movement here at Moms for America. I sure hope that you're a part of our sisterhood. It's moms like us uniting all across the country, fighting for faith, family, freedom, and the Constitution. How do you find out about us? Super simple. You just go to momsforamerica.us. Fill out the form to join the movement, join our newsletter. And of course, we have so many resources available for you mamas. All right, now we're going to head back to the show. Let's talk about some things that maybe people are, there's the overt, and then there's the maybe the things that are more subtle that we are kind of allowing in our home, or maybe that you would think would be subtle with our kids, that we need to even be concerned about, almost like a small crack in the door.
Yeah, I think technology, you know, what we allow, that's the easiest way we allow things in. And I'll tell you, I posted a video on TikTok about K-pop Demon Hunters. I don't know if you've heard of that show or not.
No.
And it got almost 200,000 views on TikTok, and people were furious at me for calling out the fact that I didn't think it was a good idea for little kids to be watching a show about demon hunters. And, you know, there were even some faith-based people who said, oh, it's got Christian themes in it. And it may not harm every child. But I think as moms and as believers, and we need to acknowledge the fact that if you allow your kids to watch something like that, you better have conversations with them around the supernatural element of it and what that means and what is it, pay attention to what is it teaching your kids. So I think, to be honest, it starts really young in children.
Sure does.
In those, you know, subtle ways through the shows they're watching, the messaging that they're getting, the games that they're playing. And then as they become teenagers, it becomes more of that social media. That's kind of the subtle way that it comes in. But I think the biggest thing is, you know, we have to take the time to engage and understand what are our children viewing? What are they watching? Who are they hanging out with? I mean, these are not new concepts, but I get it. I'm a busy working mom and it's hard to do that sometimes, but it's important. And that's even important in their mental health, like paying attention to the changes that you see in your child. And
what are some of the things that you would tell our moms to be aware of? And yes, I just want to make a comment on that too. I think we have to be hypersensitive now. The world is really full of so much negative that we have to be just affirming, moving, teaching youth groups, church, the right discussions at home, building one another up, scriptures. I mean, we really have to be talking about that all the time in our home so much, because so much is coming at the kids that are negative. But what are some of the things that if our child was having some issues, what would we start looking for? What are some of the warning signs?
I would always start with the word change. So notice the changes in your child when it comes to their mood, behaviors. And that's really the biggest thing. So in changes in mood, you might look for extreme sadness, extreme anger, even that's really common in boys, especially, but even girls, or even, you know, these moments where they feel like they're on top of the world and they can literally be superwoman and jump off the roof or something like that. But look for their changes in their mood, look for changes in behaviors. So sleep, eating patterns, if they are withdrawing from you where they normally weren't. Now, teenagers, yes, they can be moody and they can normally withdraw, and some of that's normal, but I'm looking at more extremes. You know, has their language changed? Have they started engaging in some risky behaviors?
Or a new friend group?
Absolutely.
Let's talk about the friend groups, because those tend to be, especially when there's a switch from eighth grade. Again, this is public school I'm talking about, but in general, that whole preteen thing is, even with my guys, I could see where they would start to just get a little more independent and a little bit more, I don't know, just aloof maybe, you know, and I always felt like that's the time more than ever to be more involved, more cultivating of the relationships, more involvement, more, because as soon as they start stepping away from you, they're stepping into something else. It could be a boy or a girl, it could be anything, you know. So I think too, friend groups is really something, and I was hypersensitive about the kids that who their friends were and their parents and overnights and all that stuff, because that is really where it can really get crazy.
No, it's an excellent point, and it's true. I mean, that's Proverbs, bad company corrupts good morals. And I think having those conversations with your kids and paying attention to who they are hanging out with, and that does require time. You're exactly right. And I would agree too that my kids needed me when they were younger, but man, they really need me now, even if they don't
It's
think
so
they
true.
do. And it takes a lot of time and effort to help mold them and shape them into who, you believe God's calling them to be. And that takes a lot of time and effort, but it's worth it. Get to know their friends. Their friends should know that you have boundaries for your kids. I always tell a funny story. Like I have an app on my kids' phones that monitors, their language and their activity and all that stuff. And there, at one point, my oldest son, when he was, starting high school, all of his friends knew that I would get an alert every time they said something inappropriate or whatever. So they thought it was a joke at one point, which was, I would text them and be like, ha ha, I know you're doing that as a joke, and they're like, sorry, Miss Natalie, or whatever, which is fun. So it's okay that your kids' friends know that you're that mom, that you have boundaries, that, you don't, you can still be fun in it and relational. But yeah, I think, again, I also give you permission to be nosy. Go be alone.
Absolutely. And don't you think this is something that parents feel like, oh no, you know? I mean, I just talk about my sister-in-law. She just got phones for her kids, and they're in 8th grade going into high school. But she put every lock, every bark, every notification. And I said to her, good for you, Mama, because this is so different. It's different from even 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 8 years ago. You know, my youngest, no social media. I mean, I had his phone locked down until he was 18. He came up to me and goes, can you just give me something here? Because it is so horrific. It is horrific where they can go, what they can do. And you have to be unapologetically tough.
You really do. And you have to talk to them about everything. You have to
It's
talk to them
because we
about,
love you so much that we are going to protect you. I wouldn't give you a device or any opportunity that could harm you. That
exactly.
would be wrong as a parent, not to put guidelines and structures and safety nets on it. That is horrible to do it to a child. Why would I ever think that this would not be something that would be extremely important for us as parents to monitor and guide?
Yeah, it's so true. And a lot of mainstream therapists would say, oh, you shouldn't go and be nosy and all those things. No, yes, you should. You need to know what they're writing down in their room. You need to know what's on their phone. Now, I'm not saying that you need to go check it every single day, but you should have boundaries and teach
And
them
especially,
about
Doctor,
them.
I want you to talk about too, when the moms get the intuition, which we would say is spirit-led
Yes.
from the Lord, when you get those moments where you're like, something's not right, you got to follow those. Talk about that, how moms really see, I think moms see the issues before the dads, because it's part of our gifting. And the importance of those moms just being, I'm just, it's making me think about it because you're saying it's okay to be nosy. It's okay to follow God's, when God gives you wisdom with your kids.
100% it is. Listen to the Holy Spirit and what He's guiding you in your own life. Like if you have that sick feeling over your child, dig deep until you figure out what it is and practice that regularly, then your kids will know. To, oh, mom's got that feeling, and because that's a reassurance for them too, to be honest. Like my mom used to say, and I never understood this until I was one, she would say, you may not tell me everything, but God will let me know what I need to know.
Oh, I love that.
I do too. And it is so true because you're right, He will alert you to those things. And you're
Sure
right, pay
will.
attention because how many moms knew in their gut, something was going on and then they found out their kids self-harming. You know, how many moms knew their kids were going through a lot of hate and extreme behaviors? And then, to be honest, as extreme as going and shooting up the school, there's always someone who knew something was off. Pay attention to those things. I mean, we have to in this day and age, because this world is evil is real, and the enemy is fighting hard against our kids and against us. And we have to fight hard as well. And we have the tools to do that.
How bad is the anxiety and the depression right now, as far as what you've seen in prior years to right now?
It's increasing for sure, especially since 2020. I mean, I have had to increase my staff exponentially because of just the needs are so much greater now than they ever were before. And part of that is because people are more open to it, and I'm so thankful for that. But part of it too is the enemy is going hard after our kids, and he has, because he has so much more access to them because of technology. And again, that's it's something that we need to be aware. We need to be having conversations with our kids about what is anxiety, you know, what is depression. You know, I want you to be able to come to me if you're struggling with, and for me, you know, hey guys, if you're struggling with things related to sexuality, I mean, a lot of times pornography is a massive problem among our youth today. The greatest amount of users of pornography is under the age of 18.
Can
That's
you
a
imagine that?
startling statistic for us. And that's one as parents we need to pay attention to. And it's girls and boys. And it's so easy. It's so easily accessible. And a lot of it just starts out as curiosity, but it causes massive problems.
Oh my gosh,
And we,
just
and that's
by
not,
them.
you know, new to your audience, I'm sure. But that's another thing. We need to have that conversation with our kids. And sadly, a lot of faith-based parents, even friends of mine, are like, I don't want to talk to my kids about those things. Well, if you don't, someone will.
All right, doctor, just some closing words of advice for our moms as they journey through this thing called motherhood with their kids. And maybe just, words of hope that we can help our kids and we don't have to leave them to the world when there's good counseling out there and there's great resources available.
Yeah, I would say focus on things like acknowledging your kids, believe them if they indicate they're struggling. Make sure they're safe, you know, from themselves a lot of times, from others, whether that's bad friend groups or just other people around, bullies and the enemies of God. Set a good example for them. Be a person of your word, because regardless we want to believe this or not, parents are still the most influential person in the life of their children. And that
Absolutely.
includes the adolescents. Even though friends or peers are really important, we're still that, and they are watching us. I'm a firm believer that who we are is shaped by who we love. So they are going to copy us more than we want them to sometimes. And then finally, give them choice and collaboration. Collaborate with them. Help them to make changes. Help them to find, you know, a good Christian counselor if that's something that they need, a good youth group. And let them know, like, you're there, you're fighting with them, and they're not alone. I think sometimes so many people just feel like they're alone in this, and find other good moms that, you know, are like-minded that can support you in this journey too.
Oh, absolutely. That last one is so important as well. But, and the fact that you've got to find good counseling, a counselor that you trust, that is not going to make this, they're not going to come in between the parents. They're not going to override parental rights. They're not going to make this mental health issue about gender identity. You have to have the right counseling. You have to have the right people speaking to your children's life. Is there some counseling services that we can get from you, or how do we get the right counseling?
Well, I have a staff and we do counseling. We do telehealth, but we mostly do it with people in our area just due to licensure requirements and insurance, you know, all those types of standards. But I do offer some online courses through my website, mentalwarriorconsulting.com, just because I'm trying to help people and encourage them and, you know, put hope in them, really. And we're also trying to encourage other counselors that are believers to join us in this fight and take the Weird Influences course that I've put out there about assessing darkness in practice and then knowing how to combat that evil. So we want to be able to, when we have a podcast like this or some other platform, that we can say, hey, here's some good counselors in your area. But most of all, if you're looking for good resources, interview them, find out what they believe and how that comes out in their work and their counseling and all those things. Like, get to know them. I would say get to know your kids' teachers as well and who they're interacting with, and support them as much as you can, especially if they're like-minded. But if they're not, love them and let them know who you are as a believer, even if they believe differently, and make sure they know you're going to hold them accountable though as a parent.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, we are the ones that are going to make those decisions for our kids and be at the forefront of figuring out who is going to be talking to our children and praying and guiding and helping them along their way. So thank you so much for joining us and sharing your wisdom. And thank you for helping the youth of America.
Thank you. Thank you for having this podcast and for having me on.
All right. Thanks again so much, Dr. Atwell. We so appreciate the wisdom that you shared today. And mamas, again, if you want to go ahead and visit her website for more information, it's mentalwarriorcounseling.com. All right, moms, thanks so much for being a part of this program. And again, please join the movement at momsforamerica.us. Please take advantage of all the amazing programs, webinars, seminars, resources that we have to support you in your journey through motherhood. We are here to help you. Again, visit us at momsforamerica.us. You can find a group, start a group, and be a part of this movement as we change America and save really the future for our kids. We say this every week, from parental rights to public policy, from the kitchen table to Congress, Moms of America has it all. All right, moms, thanks so much. And as always, let's keep changing our country one home at a time. And I'll talk with you soon. God bless. A special thank you to our sponsors, the Herzog Foundation and Tuvu. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Herzog Foundation.